better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Have you people texting into our Cherokee Casino hotline, 877-377-6963. Eric in Hot Springs says, will they go a current head coach or go the coordinator route? You know, Tommy, I'd be hard-pressed to think that they go after a coordinator, unless it's just like a rock star coordinator, which, you know, I don't know who that would be, but I just don't know if they'd go that route.
You know, some say the coordinator route's what set all of this on the wrong course 30 years ago when they put Jack Crow in, because it's never really consistently recovered since then. But yeah, I mean, Arkansas has not had a history of hiring coordinators as head coaches. In fact, the only one I can think of is when they hired, I mean, you could say Chad Morris was that, but he was a sitting head coach, was when they elevated Jack Crow.
Yeah, and then you saw how that turned out, because I was trying to think of what, you know, how many coordinators have they hired, and there hasn't really been many. I mean, head coaches have usually been their route, which has sometimes worked out and sometimes not.
So, we'll see, but I don't think a coordinator would be – I mean, who would it be? What hot name coordinator would you go hire? Because you could make the case that's what you just did recently. It's Chad Morris. You hired him based on what he did at Clemson as the coordinator, right? Mm-hmm. That was a big part of what you hired him for. Not, you would have never hired him based on his record at SMU, even though there was a turnaround or the start of a turnaround and his record improved every year. You still wouldn't have hired him based on that at Arkansas. So you were hiring him in large part because of the role he had at Clemson. So at least that's my opinion.
Well, yeah, so, and I think that also, if you looked at the coordinator route too, the only name that just really would stand out to me as far as being a big name coordinator would be like a Brent Venables? You know, yeah, he's a name.
Every job and not gotten him for whatever reason.
Isn't that weird? Isn't that weird that, like, because you see big-time coordinators that are highly sought after almost don't last a whole long time because they usually get the job as a head coach, most cases. I think John Chavis was one of the exceptions to the rule where he was a very successful coordinator for a very long time, never got a head coaching job. But I wonder what it is about Brent Venables that makes them say, you know what, we're good, we're fine, we don't need you.
Yeah, because Chavis' name never came up in searches. Venables' name has come up where he's interviewed, been in lots of searches and not been hired, so...
And it seems like he's even wanted the job and wanted him. So I don't know. But, you know, we have some people like this comes from Rashad in North Little Rock. He says you could get Joe Brady from LSU, too. He's another coordinator. I know he's been another hot name.
Is he even really the coordinator, though? Emsinger's still the OC, right, Ted? He's the passing game coordinator. It's one of those weird deals where they've split the title. But, yeah, I hear what you're saying. He's getting a lot of credit for Joe Burrow's success this year and kind of that off rejuvenation at LSU. So
I guess the real question would be this, Tommy. Would any coordinator make you excited or get you excited if Arkansas hired him? Would any non-head coach get you excited? I know because there's been talk, even like Sam Pittman, who's not an offensive coordinator, but there's been talk about that. But it's like, would any non-head coach right now get you excited?
Sam Pittman would be as close as it'd get because I'm a big believer you got to get line of play figured out and got to get a coach that emphasizes that so you know what you'd be getting there. But, boy, that'd be a risk. No, there's really not. I can't say that. I'd say this is going to work. I'm all in. If that's what you're looking for, there's not one they're going to hire that's going to get me there. No.
Yeah, I don't think so either. In fact, I've always said, though, that if you are going to go that route where you want an assistant coach instead of a head coach, then maybe you need to go with a Sam Pittman or somebody like that who's pretty hungry, who can get maybe at least get good recruiting going on too, because I know recruiting was great with Chad Morris, but that didn't work out necessarily. But you just need to go out and get somebody that can do it all. And I think if you're going to go that route, Sam Pittman would definitely be the one you'd want to go.
You know, Andy's got a column right now on hitthatline.com talking about, you know, coaches oftentimes, and I believe this is right, coaches oftentimes look at the current roster. What players am I going to inherit? There's some good young talent on this Arkansas roster, but a coach that now with this transfer portal, coaches know what can happen in a hurry. You know? So a coach that can come in and quickly re-recruit that roster is important. But I do agree with Andy's premise that, you know, coaches going to sit down, because what did we hear from Eric Musselman when he was interested in the Arsenal job. He sat down and started watching film and looking at the roster.
Yep.
Well, it makes sense to me. What Andy's talking about in his column is right. But can that coach come in and keep him from hitting the transfer portal? There's four or five key offensive players that you've got to hang on to, and I think some young offensive linemen, that's what you've got to have to be successful but within your second or third season.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just sometimes you get caught up in so much of like one element of the coaching realm, because I think that in some cases it has been able to work. Like for Bobby Petrino, for instance. What you knew about Bobby Petrino is that, of course, his success as a head coach at Louisville and all that. But what did you know about Bobby that he was amazing at? It was his offense.
Calling plays.
Yeah.
And offensive guru.
Right. His X's and O's. He was not known for his recruiting. He was not known for his defense. He was not known for many things, but he was great. And I mean, elite at one thing. And I think that at a place like Arkansas, and there's certain coaches that have ever, like Nick Saban, for instance, I think Nick Saban is elite at pretty much every important thing when it comes to coaching. But if you can just find one coach that can be elite at one thing, I think that that's at least something that you can start at and look at and be excited about. Except for one, and this is what's weird about it. Now, stay with me, Tommy. I don't think you can just be elite at recruiting. I don't think that that's something that's the only thing you can be elite at and expect success to come along with it. I think you got to be elite at either management of your staff and of your team. You got to be elite at X's and O's, whether it's offense or defense. You have to be elite as far as a motivator, because we've seen some places, and you know, Houston Nuggets thrown around. That was the thing he was definitely elite at. He was definitely elite at getting his guys to play hard for him. You can have certain aspects of the coaching realm that you can be elite at and be successful, but I don't know if recruiting is the one thing that you want to hold your hat on, because you can recruit all day long, but if you don't do anything with the players once they get there, you're going to see a similar situation, what you saw with Chad Morris in the first couple of years, where you have elite recruiting staff and elite recruiting coach, but nothing comes along with it as far as the success goes.
That's why you have to have a diversified staff. You got to have some dynamite recruiters. Then you got to have some coaches that they may not be as good at recruiting, but they are dynamite at development. You got to have a good strength and conditioning program. I mean, that's why you got to have a diversified staff. No, you're exactly right, John. Recruiting's not just enough, but I've never seen a program have the kind of success everybody's aiming for, championship success, who wasn't good at recruiting at some point. So, I mean, recruiting's always got to be part of it, but you're exactly right. You can be great at recruiting. I don't know, was Chad Morris great at recruiting, or are they just better than what we've gotten used to?
That's a good question. I think he's just better than what we've used to.
Yeah, I don't know that Chad Morris was elite. I think he was good and better than it's been. That was certainly his strongest suit, was recruiting here. But, you know, that's not by itself enough. So, it's just not.
No, and you got to find other elements to it. It'd be great if you had a coach that was elite in recruiting and elite in offense and elite in all these things, but unfortunately, those are just few and far between. And unfortunately, and like maybe fortunately for Arkansas, one of those coaches that's really great and elite at a lot of those things is available right now in Urban Meyer. I just don't think that he's going to come to your school. Yeah. I don't think he's going to be interested, but they're definitely few and far between. Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. JR is in Marshall. What's going on, JR?
Hey, guys. How's it going this morning?
Pretty good, man. How about you?
Hey, I'm doing good. Doing good. You know, I think one of the things that should really, really factor into all this is we're going to have to get a coach that is going to get those players motivated to play four quarters of football. If you go back and look at where Bielema was at, was it the Virginia Tech game that we played and we were up? What were we at halftime?
It was 24-0 at halftime, and they ended up losing, yes.
Ended up losing that one. And there were some other games that would look like that the players just, you know, he lost his team for whatever reason.
The Missouri game at the end of that regular season.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and that's what's been lacking. I mean, we're lacking a head coach that gets four quarters out of those players while they're on the field and motivates them to come out and play on the field. That's the biggest thing that I'm looking for. I mean, you can have, you know, these offensive-minded coaches and these defensive-minded coaches and all this stuff, but if you don't have somebody who is in charge, who can put his foot down and not be a friend, not be, you know, somebody that's going to coddle these kids, but go in there and be a head coach and be what he's getting paid to do. You know, this is going to be the same repeat of what we've seen the last two hires. You've got to have somebody that's going to be a head coach. You know, Saban could be like he is, and a lot of people don't agree with that, but guess what? It doesn't matter. He's winning. So, you know, he gets free pass to do, you know, because a lot of people look at him as being this hard-nosed football, but guess what? Every year, what's he putting out? He's putting out winning, and that's what we're going to have. We're going to have to get somebody in there that's going to be like that. So, anyway, have a good day, guys.
Well, appreciate the phone call, JR. I think that there's a lot of truth to that, too, where you got to get somebody that will bring a new energy into the program. And a lot of people, myself included, thought that was going to be Chad Morris because Tommy, what was the thing he talked about when he came in? Energy, energy. We're always going to have energy. He's Red Bull. Everything was about that. And I was like, okay, if you have energy, if you have reasons to play, if you have reasons to be motivated, then a lot of the rest of it will come along with it as long as you can develop players and X's and all that. But it won't matter a lick if you can't have passion and energy for what you're doing. So I was like, well, at least that'll be competitive in that front. But that's been lost completely. And it was even mentioned so far as when Hunter Yurecek had the press conference after the firing of Chad Morris, he was saying that. He's like, I felt like the Razorback football players just did not want to put on the uniform anymore on Saturday. They weren't looking forward to it. It was almost like more of a burden than it was a privilege. And you just can't have that. So whoever you do hire, though, I know winning's going to be the most important thing, of course. But you also got to find somebody that's going to be able to breathe some life into this program as well.
You know, when this search began, Tyler Wilson, who joins us on the show from time to time, put out a list of, I think there were six things on Twitter he said that you need in the next head coach. And there was offensive-minded stuff and, you know, some football stuff. But the last one was something along the lines of strict disciplinarian. And that's one thing Arkansas hadn't had as a coach that's, like, been tough on him. Now, essentially the coach he was describing was the Bobby Petrino he had as his head coach.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, is that an element you also need to consider when you're Hunter Yurecek is, you know, what kind of disciplinarian are you going to hire? Because it seems like, you know, it's a fine line between recruiting those kind of players, recruiting kind of players that will play for a coach like that, and having a coach that has to have that style because that's how you get the most out of the talent you got at a place like Arkansas. It's not just discipline because you suspended a guy because he missed study hall. I'm talking about discipline that carries over on the field where you're not lining up wrong on third and four and you need a huge first down and you get an illegal formation or you false start or something. You know, Bobby's teams didn't do that because he was a strict disciplinarian. You know, I think that's also something that's an interesting characteristic you might be looking at.
I do, too. And it's because it's very easy sometimes, I think, for athletic directors especially – that they want to hire somebody that will be, and I know this is a little weird to say, but they want to hire somebody that's easy to work with when I don't think that's always the case that they need to have. I don't think they need to have somebody that's easy to work with because we know, Tommy, Bobby Petrino was not easy to work with. Not just from a player or coach perspective, but just the administration. I mean, I've heard stories, I'm sure you've heard stories of how he treated people. It was not good. But he won games. And if you do your job and if you're winning, a lot of that could be overlooked a little bit. Now, it wasn't enough to save him in the end. But my point is, like, it'd be great if you can have somebody that could come in and you can be your buddy and you can get along with. But it's another thing, too, that you want to bring in somebody that where that's not one of the main elements of someone you want to bring in. It's just like, well, I want to have a nice guy that's fun to work with. I want to make football fun for everybody here. No. You want to make football about winning and being successful.
Yeah.
So if you have to hire a jerk, hire a jerk if that means winning.
But that needs to be who they really are. And what I mean by that, you can't, like, Chad Morris came in. You remember that first team meeting? All right, feet on the floor, sit up straight in your chair, and, and you thought, ooh.
Man, watch this.
Ooh, I kind of like this.
Heck yeah.
But I don't think that's who he really was as a person.
Mm-mm.
I mean, that's what the evidence shows us, at least. It's hard. I mean, you know me. You've worked around me. I'm not a guy that comes into a sales meeting, production meeting, whatever, and starts yelling and screaming and pounding my fist on the table. Sometimes I need to do that, but that's just not who I am. That's just not how I do it. It's hard for leaders to come in and try to take a style or an approach when that's not just who they are at their core. Bobby Petrino only knew one way to do it,
mm-hmm.
and that's keep everybody on edge, keep everybody uncomfortable, make everybody think tomorrow's the day I'm getting fired, tomorrow's the day I'm losing my starting job, and that was part of the secret sauce with him is everybody felt that they were a heartbeat away from either getting fired as a coach or losing their job as the starter, and he kept everybody worried about that to the point that they grinded a little bit harder to please the boss. But when you burn white hot like that, you go through everything and everybody, and you leave nothing behind. And that scorched earth, it only has a certain shelf life. And, so there's the good and the bad of that kind. But you can be a tough disciplinarian and still show love.
Of course.
I think you can do both.
Of course there is. But there's a lot of cases where that's just not how the coaches do it. Because I think Nick Saban is that way. Like, all the players love Nick Saban. They respect Nick Saban. Now, a lot of it has to do with the fact that he produces and makes it good on his promises, and they have success along with it. Because I know that we've talked to Tyler, and I've talked to other former players of Petrino, too, that they said, yeah, he was the biggest jerk in the world. Yeah, I never wanted to talk to that guy. He wasn't a guy that I'd go into his office and just talk about life. It wasn't that. But you know what? We won, so we did whatever he told us to do. We saw the success on the field. We saw the success we were having, so we knew that he was the right. So it's like, it's just a matter of respect. Of like, hey, listen, he may not be buddy-buddy with you. He may handle things differently. But if he's getting results, people are going to play for that. People are going to want to listen to that. And I think that that was also a thing that happened with Chad Morris, too, is that he kept preaching things. He kept telling these players things. He kept saying that this is how we're going to do these things. And when it wasn't getting done or wasn't happening, he lost the locker room. They lost the respect for him, and they didn't want to play for him anymore. I think that that's an element, too, that you have to find consistency on how you handle your situations. And unfortunately, like in the case of Bobby Petrino, some coaches handle those situations in football the same way they handle life, keeping everybody on edge, and it can be difficult. But you just got to find somebody that's not only consistent, but it makes good on the things that they're trying to tell you.
Hey, here's a good question. Have you checked your mortgage rate lately? How much are you paying the bank every year on your home loan in interest? If you haven't done that, you need to call our friends at Arvest Bank, 479-573-1127. Rates have significantly dropped in the recent terms. And what I mean is you can get your home refinanced right now in the 3-something percent range. So you need to call Arvest Bank. If you're paying 4.25, 4.5, you're on a 30, like to turn it into a 15. Now is a great time with Arvest Bank competitive rates, and they service 99% of the loans they originate. So most of the time you can deal with any local branch that's convenient for you for all of your mortgage needs, from making payments to arranging anything from start to finish with your mortgage at Arvest Bank. Hey, call our buddy Randy, 479-573-1127. That's 573-1127, or download the Home For Me app to your mobile device and search for an Arvest loan officer convenient for you. Arvest Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
This text comes from Justin. He says, there are guys like Leach and Kiffin that have good resumes, especially Leach. However, they both have things in their past or personality that some may not agree with, but they know how to win. If Hunter Yurecek wanted to hire them, do you think people with money and power would keep them from hiring them? I don't know if... who has the ultimate say in who is the next head coach? Like, who has the final say on this, Tommy?
Board of Trustees.
Exactly. As much as we'd like to say it's Hunter Yurecek, and he says, I want this guy, and everyone's like, okay, let's hire him. That's not the case, unfortunately.
Well, they can block it. I mean, it's unusual for the board to not accept a name that they've brought if it's gotten that far, but I mean, ultimately, the board has to say yes.
Yes, exactly. And that's my point, is that it's got to be voted on, or at least all in agreement, to make this happen.
Well,
so
there's actually kind of two boards. You got the Board of Trustees. You also got the Razorback Foundation Board. Now, I don't know. I think that's more of a rubber stamp. But those are the people that ultimately paid the coach or are responsible for raising the money, is the foundation, because the state salary has a cap on it. So I don't know that the Board of Trustees or the board for the Razorback Foundation can say no, but, they're involved as well.
Now, there's a lot of different people involved in this. I mean, it's not just Hunter Yurecek and John Fagan and whoever they want they end up getting. That's not...
In fact, when Brett Bielema was hired, the board, I know this because I talked to somebody who was on the board for the foundation, they were presented the contract that Jeff Lund was going to offer with no name in it. It was redacted out. So they had to approve, and they were not happy about that.
Well,
back then.
I would imagine.
They were asked to approve a contract in the terms without knowing who it was.
How in the world? Wait, hold on a second.
And they did it.
Hold on a second. Jeff Long presented a contract to the board for them to approve.
Not the Board of Trustees, the foundation.
The foundation.
Board.
The foundation board.
Yeah.
Presented a contract to the foundation board without a name.
Yeah.
And they still approved it.
Yeah. That's how much stroke Jeff Long either had or thought he had, but... Yeah, I was told that directly by someone on the board.
Who does that? Why? How?
Well, I mean, it was a way of controlling the information. They didn't want the wrong name getting out there. I think they knew before it was announced, but this one, when he was trying to vet the process and get it done with Bielema, that's exactly how it was explained to me by someone on the board.
I guess I don't understand, like, why couldn't they have just waited until the name actually...
Well, he wanted to make sure that he had the money approved, so...
I guess so. Well, or just, can you ask? Instead of having to have a written contract, just say, hey, do we have this money? Yeah, we have the money.
That's a lot for, I mean, that,
that's
you know.
True. I don't know how these things work. I'm not in the behind the scenes seeing how it all is done. It just seemed like it was kind of strange to me that's the way it's handled. But Hunter Yurecek, just from what we know about him, he doesn't seem like he's going to be doing things like that. It seems like he is more of a team player, if that makes sense. He's more of a guy that's going to have, he's going to do his due diligence. He's going to do his job, but he also is going to have his right-hand men around him to say, all right, it's going to be a team effort for him. It's not going to be Jeff Long saying, I know it is, but I'm not going to tell anybody and then you just have to sign off and approve that. I just don't see that happening with the 100-year check.
Let's just be honest here. Let's boil it down to low gravy. Hunter Yurecek is going to remain your AD or get fired based on this decision. Because if this is wrong and this coach flames out in 2 to 3 years, Hunter Yurecek is not going to choose the next coach.
Really? So you feel that strongly about it?
Well, I think fans, if this coaching search did not pan out for reasons that can be laid at the feet of Hunter Yurecek, this is a big moment. I think he knows that. I think he's pretty much said that. You know, his job is on the line with this search. This is what ADs get paid to do right here, is hire football coaches. I think it's that big a deal. Yeah, I do.
I mean, it's hard to disagree with you because it is the biggest job and the most important job on campus when it comes to the money, especially in the athletic department.
Some would say in the state.
Yeah, and I totally understand it and totally get it. And I think he understands that pressure that's on him as well. He's just got to find whoever that's going to be to take that spot, man. But it's just crazy to think about it, but it's honestly true. As great as that Eric Musselman hire was, for instance, it's not going to mean anything if you don't get this football hire right.
You know why? Because there's 19,000 seats in Bud Walton. There's 76,000 seats to be sold in Donald W. Reynolds.
Absolutely. That's where the money comes from, for sure.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hogs!
If you want to get on the conversation, call or text the Cherokee Casino Hotline at 877-377-6963. Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. So we have Miss Lisa from Northeast Arkansas calling in. Good morning, Miss Lisa.
Well, good morning. How are you?
I have been better. I'm trying to battle through an illness right now, but it's going okay. I got my cough drops. I'm popping them in like Pez.
Well, I am too. So, anyway, I'll be real quick, or try to be.
All right.
This coaching search, and I've been through all of them. I mean, y'all have hit the nail on the head this morning. The last 20 years have been... I don't know where Arkansas has been in an abyss with their football hires. The only reason y'all didn't bring it out, and I don't know this for a fact, but I was told by someone who seems to be in the know that the board was not even going to hire Bobby Petrino. They were still on this Jim Grobe train out of Wake Forest, if you'll remember, and... one of the board members was contacted, and he told Jeff Long he was going to hire Bobby Petrino. I mean, y'all were acting like Jeff Long said, oh, I'm going to hire Bobby Petrino. He was told to hire Bobby Petrino.
Well, and I'll say that
for a fact.
Well, I'll say this, Miss Lisa. I think that during that time, and again, this is just be my opinion, but during that time, I'm sure with the transition going on from Frank Broyles, who... There's no bigger shoes to fill in the state of Arkansas than having to take over for Frank Broyles as an athletic director. I can only imagine. But I'm sure that Jeff Long, knowing that at that time, knowing that who he was having to take over for, and knowing the situation still being unfamiliar with Arkansas coming from Pitt, I'm sure that he didn't want to rock the boat too much when it came to what he was being told to do or told to hire. So I am sure that what you're saying is correct, where
whoever came in says you need to hire Bobby Petrino, I don't think that Jeff Long was in a position at that point to try to disagree or try to cause a stink over it if that was the guy that they truly wanted to hire.
Well, he was told to hire Bobby Petrino, period. And then he came over here to West Memphis. I was there at a Razorback meeting and stood up there like a mannequin and preached to us all about he searched out Bobby Petrino. So they took questions. They should not have done that. Who raised their hand first and asked him the question?
I feel like it was probably you.
It was me. I said, I know who, realistically, I know you probably signed the paper with him, but isn't it true that you were trying to back out of that hire? And he did a tap dance that you hadn't even seen on Lawrence Welk. So I've never had any trust in him. I'm not saying he's not a good person or anything. I don't want to, attack his character. But as far as being honest, he came out with this thing when he fired Petrino. You know, what was the saying that they printed on shirts?
Integrity,
honest and trustworthy.
Integrity goes a long way.
Well, let me tell you something. In case you don't know it, in college football, integrity will get you nowhere. Now, I don't want a bunch of people shoot them up, bang, bang, and every week we're getting somebody out of jail. But let's face it, we need a few thugs, and we need a thuggish coach. We need somebody that can keep them in line and make them play like the gentleman that called earlier said, four quarters of football. I mean, this isn't, Pop Warner. This is SEC football, and that's what you've got to have in the SEC. Okay, let me get off of that and go back to who, they're looking at. I have no idea who they're looking at, and I really don't want to know because I'm probably scared to death. But I think he knows, Hunter Yurecek knows this fan base well enough that we will stop him. When he makes these rounds all over the state and stops at these little pubs and cafes and gives these one Razorback, one nation under God and all this stuff speech. If he don't get it right, he'll have to go back to Houston. And I pray. Here's my top three, and I've told you, and I'll tell you one more time. Gus Malzahn. And I think I've moved Matt Campbell to number two. And I think Mike Norvell. I like Mike Norvell. I see him a lot on TV here, locally out of Memphis, giving talks and stuff. But I've sort of put him down a few rungs on the ladder because I don't know if he's mean enough for the SEC. Y'all understand me?
Yeah, I get you. You want somebody that's tough and mean and able to have a disciplinary feel to them, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't think that Mike Norvell. I don't know. I don't. And then he could. I just don't think he's got it in him. Mm-hmm. Maybe he does, but I still stay. And a lot of people. From 10, 15 years. Let go of the grudges, people. Let go of them. And if he can get Gus Malzahn to come to Arkansas, I think that's our guy. I think. Now, if they do get Gus Malzahn, it flops, I'll be the first to call in and say, I was wrong. But you bring in somebody like Mike Leach, or Lane Kiffin, forget me buying any tickets. But anyway, it's important. I'll be glad when it's over. And I'm loving the Hogs basketball. We've got us a coach there. So that gives me hope he'll get this right. Well, anyway, I hope y'all have a good weekend. If you hear anything, Facebook me.
Yeah, we'll let you know. We got you on speed dial there on the Facebook message. Thank you, though, Miss Lisa, for your call.
Drake texted into the show during the call. He is listening to us at 30,000 feet on a plane and said, when Miss Lisa said we needed a thuggish coach, he laughed out loud and everybody looked at him on the plane. So
yeah. Now, that we've gotten a lot of responses to that on our texting line and on our tweets.
I had to mention one that we got that, you know, someone's listening at 30,000 feet. That's pretty cool, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So. That's what you can do when you have hitthatline.com streaming live.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, there's a lot to unpack here. Let's start with the thuggish coach. Need no, thugs.
There. Yeah.
I don't know if you I know what
guy, who is the guy in Last Chance U?
Jason Brown. Oh my
Brown,
God!
Yeah. Is that what you want?
No, I'm about to say if there was a stereotype of the thug coach right there, that is that guy. I don't want that guy.
He's the guy.
So
I don't think that's the way we're going.
And I think I know what she was trying to say. She wants somebody that will get their hands dirty a little bit, you know, and do whatever it takes to win. Not to
on
say
Saturdays.
That, yeah, on Saturdays. Not
on Saturdays.
Yeah, exactly. Not somebody that's going to go out and cause all these problems, or as she put it, shoot them up, bang, bang, having to bail players out of jail. I don't think that's what she was meaning. At least I hope not. She was more referring to somebody that's something that we talked about earlier when it came to the disciplinary thing, where it's just like they're an assassin. They don't care who, what, where, when, high. You're gonna do it their way. You're going to win their way. And they're going to do whatever it takes to make sure that you play that way. And it's a disciplinary thing, I believe.
Let me ask you this. Are you looking for the football version of Eric Musselman?
Yeah, as of right now, from what I'm seeing, yeah. It'd be great.
I mean, you take that, right?
Now, absolutely.
Who is that? Who is that person? But if you got the coaching qualities that we've seen through four games and what we've seen in the months that we've gotten to know Coach Musselman – a lot of his coaching qualities, a lot of his recruiting characteristics, a lot of the way he's running the program, the demands he puts on the players, the buy-in he's been able to achieve with the roster, the willingness to go to the transfer portal, just, you know, keep going. Everything we've seen to this point, the intensity in which he coaches with, the discipline he seems to have, aren't you kind of just looking for someone that fits that mold that's a football coach? You're wanting a football version of Eric Musselman.
Yeah,
mid-50s, early 50s, young enough to relate, young enough to have the energy. I mean, it's kind of, I mean, I don't think you'd be settling for that. That's exactly what you want.
Yeah. And but I just don't know
who that is might be a little hard.
Well, that was going to be my point, is that I don't know of anybody that's out there that you can just point to and say, oh, yeah, this is the Eric Musselman version of college football coaching right here. Because Eric Musselman, and just again, he's coached three games, but just from what we've seen, it's been something that everyone's buying into. He has immediately made a strong impact just by being on campus and in his recruiting efforts and his coaching efforts, and you're starting to see the actual progress that has been making. In football, though, it's a little different because, Tommy, I know that there's some things that you can see in, say, year one, because I think when Bobby Petrino was the coach, you saw things in that year, even though they went 5-7, you saw what they were doing. You saw that what they were trying to do, and you saw that, hey, man, if they get the right players in, this can work. You got to find somebody that can at least do that in football, not come in and immediately start making Arkansas relevant, but make them competitive and at least showcase what they're trying to do early on in the early going.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't a five. You know, people aren't going to be accepting this is a 5-year project turnaround, and that might be what it realistically is. But you want to see results, year one. You want to see the record turning around, year two. You know, you want to win a bowl game, year three. So, I mean, that's kind of like the minimum, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe even a bowl game sooner than that based on the young talent you have available.
But it makes me wonder with Lisa's call. She wants somebody like a Hugh Freeze?
I don't know.
I think that would be something.
I mean, if Hunter Juracek has shown us what he's looking for with the Musselman hire, that ain't really the route I think he's going. Mm-hmm. Is Lane Kiffin that kind of coach? I'm just trying to figure out what personality traits and coaching styles. I mean, I don't want to take too much out of the Musselman hire, but I think you can ignore it based on this is the kind of person and the kind of coach he's looking for.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You know,
well, and
I don't know. And we're going to find out. Are there any similarities between one search and the other as far as who he can get? Ultimately, he's got to hire the best available candidate. That's what he's got to do.
Well, this comes from JC in Austin, and this is actually a really good option when he was talking about, you know, the Eric Musselman type of hire. Maybe the closest could be with something might be like a Matt Rhule over at Baylor. He's had some NFL experience. He's been an assistant at other places, and he's been a successful head coach both at Temple and at Baylor. I don't know if he'd be interested or not, but that may be the comparison that people need to make.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just thinking, you know, everything, you just think about what everyone's described they're looking for. That's kind of what you got in your basketball coach, a lot of the same characteristics. So,
but would it not be easier, though? And I think it's obvious. It's obviously easier to get a big-time head coach to come coach basketball at Arkansas than it would be at football right now. We also got to take that into consideration as well.
Well, I think the path to success here is easier in basketball, no question. Much easier.
And taking over that situation.
You got Calipari to deal with in this league, but there's, you know, Arkansas, you can easily make the case it's the second best basketball program in this conference. You can make that case. It may actually be third or fourth, but it's not outside the top five under anyone's estimate.
So. Yeah, but also, Tommy, though, and going back to your point about how long it would take to be a 4 or 5 year, I don't know if it needs to be that long in college football anymore. Like, I'm not saying that
the right quarterback. And if KJ Jefferson turns out to be the guy that everyone thinks his potential could be holding, yeah, you're right.
Because if you think about it,
you got to figure out that line, John. Until you figure out the offensive and defensive lines, you're going nowhere fast.
Yeah, and that's why whoever they end up hiring, they better make sure that they got a great, first off, great offensive line coach, because that definitely needs the most help, but also a great defensive line coach, because that's going to make the difference as far as you being successful in the SEC. But when it comes to some coach who's going to come in and be able to get it turned around at least quicker than what people would probably be expecting, they have to hit the ground running in recruiting, of course. But there are also elements to where it's like, to me, getting it going in year three is, you know, going and winning 7 or 8 games, which I don't think is impossible. Well, I mean, Brett Bielema did that, and he went 3-9 in his first year.
But that's what I kind of say. You got to make a bowl game by year three. I mean, that, you know. When I say 5 years, I mean it's going to take 5 years, I think, to get back to winning, you know, scaring 9 wins. That's what I mean. So.
Right. Okay. No, I think that's fair. I don't think that anybody should expect the Bobby Petrino deal where in year three you're going to the Sugar Bowl.
No one's hiring a coach to win 6 or 7.
No.
I think that's where you should be by year three. You know, it's going to take some time to recruit and develop some linemen.
Yeah.
And if you don't understand the fact, I'm talking to you, I'm just to all of us, if we don't understand the fact that you've got to fix this offensive line before you can fix this program, then you haven't been watching what's going on.
Yeah, because without that, you're not going to be anything in this conference.
Yeah.
Anything at all.
It's a line of scrimmage league, and right now Arkansas is 15 out of 14 at the line of scrimmage.
Yep. Yep, on both sides of the ball.
Gotta fix that first. You can't go anywhere until you fix that.
Absolutely. Let's get into your Hog update here on the Morning Rush.
Arkansas football. It's the players running through the A. Hog hats. It's more than 70,000 fans calling Woo Pig Suey.
It's a great day to be a Razorback.
Guys, I've got just one thing I want to say to you. Touchdown, Arkansas!
Arkansas wins the victory!
This is your Hog Update on the Morning Rush.
All right, it's time for your Hog Update presented by Ozark Sportsman Supply.
Yeah, the biggest and best brands you want for the holiday season are at the Ozarks, whether it's Benelli, Glock, Smith & Wesson, Daniel Defense, and many more. They've got them in the firearm section of Ozark Sportsman Supply. Clothing side, all the best brands, Umgi, Drake, Carhartt, Columbia, Blowfish, New Balance, and many, many more at Ozark Outpost Casual Clothing and Footwear. And if you'd like to personalize something, check out the print and embroidery shop. They can design a custom shirt, jacket, or any item you want personalized. Hey, this holiday season, make it joyful and easy when it comes to your shopping experience. Ozark Sportsman Supply and Ozark Outpost Casual Clothing and Footwear, Highway 412 West, barely out of Springdale and Taneytown.
So for your Hog update, the 20th ranked Arkansas women's basketball team kept rolling last night. They beat Belmont 91-66 at Bud Walton Arena. They move on to 5-0 and also moving their average point differential on the season to 32 points. Tommy, the women's basketball team is really getting it going. It seems like Mike Nabors has them going in the right direction, quick, fast, and in a hurry.
Head out to California to play Cal Berkeley, I believe it is, on Saturday. So or this weekend, I think they play on Sunday. They head out there this weekend. So you get there and get a little better feel for the opponents. Then they go to the Bahamas. Phil Elson saying, hey, I'm going to have to miss Wednesday's halftime show. We're leaving at this time to go to the Bahamas. I'm like, boo-hoo.
Yeah, I'm sure he's bummed.
Yeah. Why don't I go to the Bahamas and you stay here? He goes, well, it's, you know, you're going to miss Thanksgiving. I said, well, I didn't think about that.
Well, I mean, you can have Thanksgiving in the Bahamas, right?
You could have Thanksgiving in the Bahamas.
Yeah, so just do that.
You know, so be a pricey ticket to take the family to the Bahamas right now.
Yeah,
so.
But you can't put a price on family and Thanksgiving and all of that.
Oh, you can't, but American Express can.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So, but no, that's so going to be
They got some competition, some games coming up. We're going to get feel this five-game homestand. I haven't really played the steepest of competition, but you get a better feel here the next week or two, I think.
Yeah, and that's why I told Phil, too, when he told me yesterday that he was going to the Bahamas. I'm like, you know, nothing against it, but, you know, Razorback baseball team doesn't go to the Bahamas. So, you know, they're going to East Lansing this year up in Michigan.
Right.
So, you know, it'll be a little more fun to head down to the Bahamas during the cold time of year.
So you got that to look forward to.
Yeah, exactly.
In February or whatever it is on the schedule.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. Because that was actually a game, too, that I think that me and Phil were talking about, too. It might be the furthest north Arkansas has ever played a baseball game. Might be. I have to look at the records there. But either way, yeah, the women's team, though, going back to the original point, they are certainly rolling right now with Mike Neighbors heading in with this great season they're having. So,
and his recruiting has been outstanding, too. Maybe better than what Eric Musselman's had at this point with the recruits. I think Arkansas is headed back to where Gary Blair had it at one point, and we'll see if that equates to a Final Four appearance or tournament runs, but regularly in the tournament, making some headway in the SEC, which is very difficult in women's basketball. It appears they've got the right coach finally back in charge of the program.
Absolutely. And also in some other Razorback news, too, Sosa Geem will be playing in the East-West Shrine Bowl game, there we go, on Saturday, January 18th in St. Petersburg, Florida. You know, it's kind of sad with Sosa Geem's thing. You know, he was a highly recruited kid coming out of high school, but since he's been on Arkansas, it's been nothing but changes and transition and tough play. So I still think he'll get into the NFL, but, man, it's been tough on him, I know for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you wonder why in-state kids would look elsewhere. I mean, this is an example of how it just did not work out for as well as it could. I don't think he reached his full potential. He's had a good career. I just don't think it's reached its full potential that he could have had maybe if it had been more stable during his time at Arkansas.
Yeah, certainly that's the case. By the way, we have a text here from Brandon on the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Says, if line of scrimmage league is the SEC and that's why he feels we need Pittman back, I would understand not bringing him in as a head coach, but we need to bring him back as a assistant coach or an offensive line coach. How realistic is it? I don't think it's that realistic as an assistant coach, but as a head coach, I think it's very realistic.
Depends on what your budget is. Depends on what you're willing to pay. So,
how much is he worth, Tommy?
Well, how much is losing costing you? And, you know, I don't know that he can come in and fix it, but I would make him like a running game coordinator or something and find the right fit where, you know, LSU's making that work with an OC and a passing game coordinator with Joe Brady. Why couldn't you do that?
Sure.
You know? So, yeah. Would he be worth $1 million a year as an offensive line coach? I don't even know what he's making at Georgia, but I don't imagine it's seven figures.
No, I wouldn't think so either. And, like, how many
– but would you be willing to pay him that?
Would he be the first, like, position coach to make $1 million?
That's why you'd have to make him, like, some kind of coordinator, running game coordinator or something.
Yeah, because you don't want to
give some kind of big title you come up with.
By the way, he makes $650,000 a year. No, excuse me. It's been raised to $825,000 a year.
Okay. But would you pay him $1 million a year? That's what it'd take to get him to probably come in. If it wasn't a, you know, obviously you're going to pay more than that if he's your head coach or coordinator. But
would he be worth it to you?
Absolutely, because the difference in two or three wins has been line play. I mean, I'm not even talking about getting back to 10 wins. I'm just talking about getting out of this embarrassing abyss that, you know, Clay Dick calls it an abyss. That's correct. It's just been embarrassing. I mean, it's an embarrassment right now, the state of the football program.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, and where did it all start going south? You can trace it back to when Sam Pittman left. So, absolutely. So, all right, we'll talk it over with Tom Murphy coming up.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Welcome in Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Good morning, Tom. How you doing, man?
Doing great, man. I'm hearing some background music, The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, and I wonder if there's any correlation.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know if it's any correlation with the wreck, but I was thinking, he mentions November in the song.
It sounds like Tommy's broadcasting from Lake Gimaguchi.
Yeah, he's like over there. Yeah, but it was like, hey, you know, it's a November song, so, you know, why not? Are you a fan of Gordon Lightfoot in the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald there, Tom?
A big fan. I've got Gore's Gold, his greatest hit, and have it on my MP3, and I enjoy listening to it while mowing.
He celebrates his entire catalog.
Well, there you go. Excellent. Well, that's good to know, Tom. I'm a big Gordon Lightfoot fan as well, and it's good to have you on, man. There's a lot of things we want to get to. First off, let's look at the Razorback football team. Obviously, LSU this weekend. We talked a little bit about it with you on Tuesday, but you got to meet with Barry Lunney yesterday as he was out there on the field talking with some of the media. Just anything has changed in your mind? Has anything really stood out to you as far as some of the comments that he's made, what the practices have looked like? Because we don't really know a whole lot of information of what's going on, and I think that's done on purpose.
Yeah, they've closed off. The part where the first offense is operating is pretty well closed off. I mean, we see the periods that involve flex and stretch and some special team stuff and just some individual drills. But right when we're leaving the complex, they go and do a little bit of team stuff. And, you know, K.J. Jefferson has been there. So unless they're throwing some kind of big curveball, I expect him to be the starter. But I think they're going to have packages for other guys. And as he mentioned, they're going to keep allowing the other quarterbacks to show what they've got. So I don't think it's been any big mystery to Ed Orgeron and them. But, hey, you know, they're going to have to prepare for a running quarterback like K.J. Jefferson, and who had a very successful start to his career here. And running quarterback, you know, John Rhys Plumlee really gashed them last week. I mean, that was impressive to watch. And so between Rakeem Boyd's running and K.J. Jefferson, some RPO stuff trying to get to the edge where LSU was a little vulnerable, and then maybe they'll have some passing stuff. Maybe Nick Starkel, you know, gets an opportunity with a package where they just kind of keep LSU on their toes a little bit. But what I do expect to see is the Razorbacks playing with a little more heart, and that's what Barry Lunney talked about on his radio show, that his first appearance at the Catfish Hole last night was that they just want to go out and lay it on the line, you know, show that what kind of team they are. And it's a heck of a proposition to go down there and make a big impact in this game against LSU, which is a very complete team. You know, I think Razorback fans are dialed in to, you know, let's give this team two more games and see where we go with a new coach.
Well, that was going to be my next question as far as just the heart that Barry Lunney's wanting this team to play with. I'm sure it's not the easiest thing because what are you really playing for at this point? No bowl game, nothing like that. It's mainly just playing for yourselves and playing for the coach. Do you think that Barry Lunney, at least from what you've been able to see in here, do you think that he's gotten everybody on board and that you will see a lot of heart played with on Saturday? Maybe not a win, but at least they will put forth the effort and play with a lot of heart.
Well, that's the hope, and we won't know that until we see what the product looked like on the field on Saturday. And how does that manifest itself? I think that means better one-on-one tackling. Pursuit to the ball, gain tackling, holding your blocks just a little bit longer if you're on the offensive front, you know, helping teammates and things like that. And, you know, I expect them to have a little wrinkle somewhere along the line, whether it be in special teams or somewhere, because Ed Orgeron said, and I don't get how you do this, but he goes, we know that they're going to be practicing some stuff that we haven't seen because they've had this extra week. So we've been practicing for that. Well, how do you practice for what you don't know is coming? So we'll see how that turns out. I mean, some of the stuff they've done has backfired, the fake punt, the double pass in the Ole Miss game, you know, went the wrong way. So we'll see if they can pull off something like that this week.
Well, Tom, in this series between these two teams, I know that it's got a quote-unquote rivalry to it, and it's for the Battle of the Golden Boot and all that fun stuff. But let's just be honest, it's not really a rivalry game in the same sense of other college football games. But I will say that for whatever reason, this game is always a little weird. And in most of the cases, it's because Arkansas always plays a lot better than what they normally do, and LSU plays a little worse. Even last year, Arkansas only lost by a touchdown, and that LSU team should have blown the doors off of Arkansas, but Arkansas still stuck around. Do you see that maybe happening in this game again, where, not saying Arkansas wins, but could it you see maybe a big letdown from LSU and Arkansas kind of plays out of their minds and they at least keep it competitive?
Yeah, if we're being honest with ourselves, the interest in the Arkansas game for LSU is down the totem pole, man. I mean, it's behind Alabama, it's behind A&M, it's probably behind Auburn, just because those teams have been more strong recently. So that's the case, and it's the ultimate trap game in terms of they come off a huge win at Alabama, you know, the groundbreaking win for them, and then the caution is, well, we just won a big game, we can't have a letdown in a road game at Ole Miss, and you know they were a little bit sluggish, but they jumped on top early and weren't really threatened. So this is now the ultimate trap game in that it's a very downtrodden opponent with a new coach, and they've got A&M coming up, who they lost to in 7 overtime. So I think the formula is right for, and I think like Grant Delpit, their safety might not be playing, and all this stuff. So and all the talk now is we're on track to win the West and be the first seed in the playoff. But even if they play poorly and Arkansas plays very, very well and plays with all this heart we're talking about, that's a long road to go to get to complete the task and get an upset down there. But I was thinking about David Basel, creator of the Golden Boot Trophy and others, what he told them in 2014 when they broke their 17-game SEC losing streak. If we win this game, you run your beeps across that field and get that trophy. And that's what they did. And Arkansas fans stormed the field. This is a road game. Crazy things have happened down there for Arkansas at LSU, but it's going to take a whale of an effort to win.
Yeah, I think even if the talent comes down to it, it'll just take – you're talking about one of the greatest and biggest upsets in college football regular season history is probably what it would end up being if Arkansas got the case. But we just got about a minute mm-hmm. with you left here, Tom. I just want to ask you about Ed Orgeron and him being at LSU. I honestly, and I'll admit, I was wrong. I thought that he would be an average hire at best. I didn't think he would do anything that Les Miles wasn't able to do. But he has found a way to get this LSU team ready, and I don't see anybody beating them the rest of the way in college football.
Well, great point, and I agree with you. I just didn't think it would work out. But it turns out he really learned some great lessons. He learned how to handle players a little better, and he finally found the formula on offense. Steve Ensminger's his guy, but bringing in Joe Brady has been the game changer, as he called it, and he's let them do their thing. It's been fascinating to see.
Tom Murphy, appreciate you joining us as always, man. Have a great weekend, all right?
All right, see you.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette right now on the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Good morning, Richard. How you doing, man?
Fired up, man. Fired up.
No, I'm good. That's what we want from you, Richard. We want you to be fired up, and hopefully it's just because you're on the Morning Rush, and that's what's getting you fired up. Is that the case here?
Absolutely. Okay. I'm kind of a zombie until you guys call.
Well, I'm glad that we can provide you some extra boost of energy there, and it's always good to have you on, Richard, to talk a little recruiting. And I didn't want to start with the good news, at least with basketball. Man, they had the Chris Moore deal that did not go Arkansas's way, and then they have Jalen Williams coming up here this weekend, which is going to be a big commitment. We'll start there with the Chris Moore situation. What happened with that whole ordeal? Why did he go to Auburn? What can you tell us about that commitment?
Well, one thing that you have to realize, Auburn offered him 3 years ago, so that relationship's been ongoing for that long, and that's a long relationship. And I think you also look at, you know, Coach Muss and them trying to get in kind of, you know, during the situation and obviously getting in late. And just kind of hard to overcome a three-year relationship. But it's just one of those type deals where I think the relationship, and then Les Flanagan, obviously, is very well known in the state of Arkansas, and I think that helped. And I think he probably looked at the roster too, and thought that maybe because that Auburn went to the Final Four, that maybe they can have success quicker at Auburn.
And I mean that makes sense too, because it's just one of those things that if you're Auburn too, you're coming off of a Final Four. You mentioned the history and the relationships that they have. A lot of times you just can't help but avoid those things. But then moving on to Jalen Williams, which is going to be a big get for Arkansas because he's a big man, and Arkansas needs a lot of help, especially on the interior. How are you feeling about that situation? Is that something that you feel confident in Eric Musselman, that he's going to be coming to Arkansas? What's kind of your gauge on Jalen Williams right now?
Yeah, I feel good about Arkansas. I mean, it's, you know, let's face it, he lives about 30, 45 minutes away from Fayetteville, and his parents can see him play at any time. You know, if that's the case, you know, going to Auburn, you're not going to be able to see him every game. And I think that's going to be a big pull. And I think that Coach Muss and the staff's done an excellent job of recruiting him and letting him know how important he is. And I still feel good about Jalen, and he's supposed to announce Saturday sometime that afternoon.
So if he decides to go to Arkansas, what can you tell us about his game? Because we know his size. He's a big guy, and Arkansas obviously is going to need all the help they can get on the size. But what kind of player, is there a comparison that we can have to what we can expect out of him? Just what can he add to Arkansas in his freshman year if he decides to go with the Razorbacks?
You know, he's an inside-out guy. He can hit the three. He's very comfortable from a three-point line, and pretty good shot there. He's definitely gotten better with his back to the basket. He can shoot the face up. He's got good range, and he can block some shots. He's not overly athletic, but he has good athleticism. I guess there's one guy to compare him to just off the top of my head. I would think somewhat like Dwight Stewart, because Dwight Stewart was able to go inside, outside. Now, obviously, different body types, stuff like that, but their game is somewhat similar.
And that should excite Razorback fans if that ends up being the case. Any sort of comparison like that would definitely be big. Another player that I want to ask you as far as the basketball side of things go is Devontae Davis, who committed to Arkansas and also signed to Arkansas during the early signing period. Do you see any of these other players signing during the early signing period for Eric Musselman besides Devontae?
No, he's the only one. The rest of the guys, they plan on waiting till the spring and just kind of seeing how the season plays out and go from there.
Speaking of Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette right now on the Morning Rush via the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Richard, switching it up over to football, it's obviously kind of a weird situation where you have an interim coach in with Barry Lunney. You have a lot of assistants that are still trying to recruit, but no one knows who the next head coach is going to be. Just what's the recruiting aspect look like as far as the football side? Are they still going out, still visiting, still getting guys to try to commit to Arkansas, even though it's all up in the air? What's kind of the plan right now?
Well, you just stay in touch with them and try to tell them to be patient, until the next coach is named and just go from there. Currently they have six commitments, and I think all of those guys are pretty solid. I think that they just want to see who the new coach is, and the guys that the eight guys that have reopened and decommitted from Arkansas since Coach Morris has let go, many of those guys are still interested in hearing from Arkansas and the new coaching staff, and interested to see if any of the guys that are currently on staff that are retained. If you have some of the guys that are currently on staff retained, I think that helps their chances with some of the guys that obviously reopened things. Because I've talked to several, and some of them were recruited by Coach Lenny, Coach Traylor, and Coach Stepp have said that they would definitely look at Arkansas very seriously again if those guys were retained.
That was actually going to be my next question as far as retaining assistant coaches. I mean, do you see any of these guys getting retained? Is it going to be up to the coach? If they did retain, who do you think would be some of the more important factors, especially recruiting? What about the coaching retainment?
Well, if you look at the coaches that are being mentioned for the job, and not too many of them really know the state of Arkansas, know about the university that well. So I think that lends to Barry Lunney Jr. being retained. I'd be very surprised if he's not. You need a guy that knows the university and the state of Arkansas inside out, knows the football program, is well respected. Then I mentioned Jeff Traylor, obviously the East Texas since Coach Morris got into Fayetteville, and primarily because of Jeff Traynor, they were able to recruit East Texas very well, and he's also respected throughout the state of Texas. But really, Arkansas hadn't recruited East Texas like they've have the last 2 years. You'd have to go back to maybe Houston Nutt, because Houston Nutt really did a good job of recruiting East Texas, and a lot of that was Bobby Allen. I think that you got to take a look at that, and you got to be impressed with what Coach Stepp's done in recruiting for his receivers. So, and don't forget Mark Smith. He did an excellent job in the state of Texas, too. He got those, Jalen Catalan and Enoch Jackson and Torian Carter and several other guys from the state of Texas. So there's some candidates that could be looked at to definitely be retained.
Well, let me ask you this, Richard, because I'm sure you've been asked a million times about who you think the next head coach is going to be, or what do you think about this name? It's almost like coaching Mad Libs when it comes to being placing with a name and an adjective of what you think. But some name that actually has been talked about this morning, has been talked about throughout the week as far as for Arkansas, someone that I know you're familiar with as well. He's never been a head coach. But Sam Pittman, because of the aspect of him being a fantastic recruiter, him being a fantastic offensive line coach, trench play is important, if not the most important thing in the SEC when it comes to competing. If you saw something like that, that type of scenario happening with Sam Pittman and him being able to assemble a great staff, what would you make of that as far as how well they would recruit? And do you think that that would be something that would really work out at a place like Arkansas where they had guys that could still recruit at a high level, but also taking a risk on a guy who's never been a head coach before?
Well, it'd definitely be a risk. Dabo Sweeney I had a college coach tell me it's not so much important for a coach to be an OC or a DC. It's about leadership. And Coach Pittman shows that leadership, in a one-on-one meeting with Hunter or whoever else, and I think he could. He'd have to knock them socks off, but some fans would definitely embrace it. Some fans would be a little uneasy because he doesn't have a previous head coaching position experience, but it is intriguing, and obviously he was a great recruiter when he was here at Arkansas.
All right, before we let you get out of here, Richard, is there a name? Is there somebody? I know we keep asking this, but we'd be remiss if we didn't ask you. What do you make of the current coaching search situation for Arkansas? Any names that really pop out to you?
You know, man, I've gone back and forth, and I'll be honest with you. There's one guy that I come back to on a consistent basis is Mike Leach. Mm-hmm. What he did at Texas Tech hasn't duplicated what he did at Texas Tech since he left. What he's done at Washington State's very, very impressive, because that is a very tough place to win, and he's been able to do that and have pretty good success after rebuilding that program. So here's a guy that's shown that he can rebuild a program. He's got ties to the state of Texas. You know he's going to win. There's no doubt. He is a safe hire. He's going to win. There's no doubt about it. So if you're Hunter, you're a check, and you're looking for a guy that can rebuild a program. You know he's going to win. He checks off those two boxes for sure. So and he brings a name. I've talked to some recruits, and they're very intrigued by him. He kind of gives that wow factor, and obviously he would bring him national attention because he is a character. He's a funny guy. But number one thing he does, he wins football games, and that's what you need right now.
Yeah, especially in the SEC. And another thing about Mike Leach that's always intrigued me, too, is that his offense, everyone thinks that he does the five-wide old Texas Tech offense that he had, which, yeah, there's some truth to that, but he's also adjusted over the years. And even a couple of years ago when he had Alex Gingrich as a defensive coordinator, people said that his teams never play defense. Well, they do. I think there's more to him than just having some funny remarks and some great offenses that pass the ball over the field. I think that he is able to adjust, and he's a smart enough coach to where if he has a certain amount of players, say in year one, if he was the Arkansas head coach, if he can't do the offense he wants to do, then he can adjust and make it work. And I think that that's something that's also important of a great football coach, too, being able to play the cards that you're dealt and still find a way to win with them, too.
You killed it. That was a great explanation, and I agree with you. I mean, to be able to adjust to your talent is a sign of a good coach. Some coaches want the talent to adjust to his philosophy instead of the other way around, and I think you got to be able to be flexible in that area, and he definitely has shown that. To me, you know, after thinking about it more and more, like I just said, I come back to him just about every time.
Yeah, I do as well. I do as well. We'll see how it plays out. There's still going to be at least a week and a half of this talk when it comes to the coaching search, but should definitely be interesting as it goes on. Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Always appreciate you hopping on with us, Richard. Great stuff as always, man. Have a great weekend, and we'll catch up with you next week, all right?
All right, buddy. We'll see you, John.
All right, appreciate it, man. 877-377-6963 is the number to call or text in the Cherokee Casino Hotline, where all guests join us via the Cherokee Casino Hotline. You know, Tommy, some of the stuff that you know, Richard had said, obviously, it was interesting from the recruiting aspect, but the Mike Leach angle is something that I think most Razorback fans would be okay with, especially given what he could bring into the mix and the name he has. There's no doubt he'd win. It's just a matter of how long would it take him to win at Arkansas.
He's number one on my list, and for a lot of the same reasons that Richard listed, that's the name when people have asked the last couple of weeks I give. Why? Just like Richard said, I'm the same way. He built something from nothing at Texas Tech. He did it again at Washington State. That's what you need, is a coach that can and has experience taking a program that's on its knees and getting it back to sprinting again. That's what he's done, and done it twice. So you know, he's built two programs, and he's had great assistant coaches around him at Texas Tech, maybe not as much at Washington State. I think he'd play well in the SEC.
Yeah, I absolutely do think it's that as well. Because, listen, Mike Leach is known for his crazy personality. He's known for his wacky antics and his comments about superheroes. I mean, he is that guy, but there's more to him than that. And at this point in time in Arkansas, and this is where I try to caution Razorback fans, don't be picky. Don't be overly picky. It's okay to be saying, hey, well, this is to be the coach I want. Or, hey, I think this coach would be all right. It's okay to say those things. But what it's not okay is just to be so overly picky that it ends up costing you. It's almost like, what was that movie? Shallow Hal, Matty T. You remember that movie? Did you ever see that movie?
Yeah, Jack Black? He fell in love with an overweight girl. He saw her as a thin
right.
person.
But the reason that he was given that trance or whatever is because he was so shallow. Yeah. He was over the top, and he couldn't find happiness with it because he was so critical of everything. And that may be one of the lamest comparisons I've ever made when it comes to the coach here at Arkansas. But I think that it's fitting is that so many people are coming in. Like, for instance, if we throw a name out there, we get blown up with text messages from people saying why they don't want a particular individual. And sometimes it is so minor. It's so small on one of the reasons why. For instance, we had this, and I'm not trying to call you out, Justin and Van Buren. I'm not calling you out specifically, but I'm just saying that there are other people that have done this too. We were talking about Sam Pittman. He says, Sam Pittman has dumped us before, wasn't even going to tell his players, I don't want him. Can't hold grudges, man. Not in the coach's game. And I'm not saying that Sam Pittman would be the guy, but you got to understand that in college football, it's so important to have a guy, of course, that can win you games, but also be able to, as a fan base, trust the process, if you will. Trust that Hunter Yurecek and the Board of Trustees are going to make the right decision in bringing in the right guy, and trust that whoever he is, he's going to come in and he's going to do a good job with it. But you can't hinder your search. You can't hinder any of it if you constantly are picking at some of the smallest stuff, some of the most minor things of all time. Like, we've had people text in that they don't want Mike Leach because he's weird. What does that matter if he wins?
I'd take weird at this point.
I mean, would you not? Well, if like Chad Morris, I don't think was weird. What did that do for you? Nothing. So I don't see any reason why, as a Razorback fan base and as a place that's trying to hire another head coach, that you don't go all in on somebody that's going to produce wins regardless of their personality, regardless of their past. Not saying you want somebody that's you don't want to bring in an Art Briles, okay? There is a line that can be drawn. You don't want to bring in an Art Briles. But you know what? If there's somebody out there that you know will give you instant success, that will be good for the long term, that may have had some things in their past that you may not agree with or you hope doesn't happen here, you're going to just have to bite that bullet. Like Lane Kiffin. Would Lane Kiffin be a great hire? I think he would be a good hire. I really do. But you're never, he's never going to go anywhere, and you never get another job if you don't get him a chance and give him an opportunity. All of you love Bobby Petrino. You don't think Bobby Petrino had stuff that was very public before he was hired at Arkansas? How many of you were out there saying that when Bobby Petrino was named, well, we don't want him. He was trying to go behind the back of the Auburn administration and get that job from Tommy Tuberville. Or he left Louisville in a bad way. He didn't tell anybody about it. And he just left. We don't want him. No, you swallowed your pride and you owned it and you were happy about it because you knew he was going to be a great coach. If Arkansas, again, I keep playing this game because it's fun, but if Arkansas was going to hire Urban Meyer, they're not going to. But if they were, would everybody start bringing up, well, what about that whole Aaron Hernandez thing in Florida? I don't want him. Or even the Ohio State thing, as serious as it was and as bad as it was, would you swallow your pride and say, yeah, I still want Urban Meyer, though, because he wins? Yes, you would. And don't sit there and tell me and try to convince me that you're a true Razorback fan and you wouldn't. That's just the fact of the matter. So I just feel like it's funny how any coach that gets mentioned, something gets brought up about why somebody doesn't like him. Don't be too picky. The guy produces. If the guy wins, do it. Hire him. Because the pickier, is that a word? Pickier?
It is now, today.
It is today. The pickier you are, the worse off you're going to be because everyone's going to be flawed in college football. I know that we like to think that everyone's just a bunch of saints in college football, especially coaches.
Well, Miss Lisa wants a thug.
Yeah, Miss Lisa over here wanting thugs.
What do you think about, coach? What do you think about Toll on the YouTube video stream? Gus slung us under the bus. The dirtbag can stay in Alabama.
See, that's exactly what I'm saying. But if you know what? If he's the best option you got left, you get over it. You swallow your pride.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.